What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 20 minutes. We'll also talk about quarterback hanging them up over the weekend here in 10 minutes or so. Thanks for hanging out with us. As we said, good to be back in the saddle. A full week ahead. I can promise you a full week. Well, for both of us. Then Drew is taking his trip later on in the week. So,
you know, it's that time of the year. Sometimes the timing just doesn't work out.
It's the off season. You know, this is the time where people go and do some things. So
I will warn you already then Monday, I need to leave the show early.
Huh?
My daughter... Next Monday, she has a school event thing. I don't want to miss the whole show.
Okay.
But my daughter has a school event thing where she is a living wax figure, right? So, like, they did all this biographical stuff. She stands there.
Okay.
And so she asked if I would come, and I told her sure. And it's, it's before the show is over, but not so early. I don't have to leave a little bit early, where she is the living wax figure of Beyonce. And I've chosen to miss that because my... 8-year-old daughter dressed up as Beyonce for a living wax museum. I'm going to that. That's a hit. That's a must.
Yeah.
That's a must go.
All right.
So.
Okay.
But other than that, I plan on being here until, I don't know, dance competition.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, in June.
Life happens, man. Life happens.
You ready to, you want to come watch dance for 12 hours?
I did
auditorium?
That for, 16 or 18 years with two sisters. Plenty. I got my plenty of dance recital fix in my childhood, having to go watch that.
We had the first schedule thing come up. What do you guys think protocol is? Desmond got a birthday party invite for the identical time frame as her dance recital.
Mm-hmm.
So birthday party invite, optional invite. He would probably like to go.
How long is the birthday party?
It's the exact same time frame as the recital. I mean, borderline identical. It's like weirdly close.
One of you goes.
Do you think you split?
One of you does that. Yeah, you have two parents.
So you miss a recital? Recitals are kind of like, those are like a once a year thing.
Yeah, but, this is the birthday's once a year too.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's true, I guess. But birthday party's not once a year. He's going to get invited to other birthday parties.
Yeah.
He's been invited to other birthday parties and attended them.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just skip this one? It's not like a friend. It's not
how
like,
good of a friend
like,
it is, yeah.
It's not his, on again, off again, girlfriend from school. Most recently, so they were definitely off for a while. He said that they were just friends. They weren't boyfriend and girlfriend anymore.
Let's remind the audience again. How old is
your
son?
For the audience, my son is 6.
Okay, yeah.
And they had he had decided, and then they got in trouble because they had kissed at school. And so there was a whole thing there for a while. But after that, I think because he put it on ice, because he was told they can't kiss at school, she maybe became disinterested. So they had been on a good run. She sent a note home that said, I love you. And it was a picture of them holding hands outside the school. So it seemed like maybe things were heating back up. But he just told me they got into an issue while I was gone. He said he was a little bit sad when we FaceTimed because I said, hey, man, what's going on? And he said that he put his book box next to another girl. Now, again, they're not together. So he owes this other girl nothing. And she said, I'm not kidding, this girl, she said, you're always putting your book box next to this girl. And he tried to explain. He's like, well, it's just there. I'm not thinking about it. This is how he explained it. It's just there. I'm not thinking about it. She said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear these excuses anymore.
What?
So, yo, what is going on?
He's just in it, dude. He's just in it. They're not together. What's his obligation here? He can't put his book box next to other people?
She said she doesn't want to hear it. I wonder where she heard that from.
I don't know, man.
He's learning a lesson.
That's what I'm saying.
He's learning a lesson that's going to come up again in high school and college. He's learning it now at an early age.
All right, let's talk some Royals baseball because, as we mentioned earlier, they're in a division that looks like for the second straight year, it is going to be ultra competitive. It's why the Royals still only have the third best odds to win the division despite the run that they have been on. Even with a series loss to the Red Sox. And the reason why they're in this spot, we all know it. It's because of pitching. If I would have told you before the start of the season that, oh yeah, the pitching is going to be even better, you guys would have said, okay, come on now. If anything, we talked about regression, and it could still happen, but we talked about regression from Lugo, or could there be regression from other guys in the rotation? Could the bullpen live up to the expectation that they're going to have? And they're currently the second best ERA in baseball, 2.99. It was better than that even 3 days ago. The best ERA in team history was a 3.22 ERA all the way back in the early 70s. So
that's like the Dennis Leonard, you know, like when they had just like pitcher after pitcher in those days.
That is insane that the pitching staff is better than a year ago just because of what we knew and how, you know, frankly, finicky pitching can be year to year. The bullpen we knew was going to be improved, but they're doing this. Also, I want to point that out on the bullpen end because so much is made about the rotation, and I get it, right? Multiple seven-inning outings and all that.
Yeah, they had three straight seven-inning outings that were shutouts. Yeah.
But this bullpen is doing what they're doing without Hunter Harvey still. And I know he's just been a disappointment. Because
but he was good before.
He was, but he's just been a disappointment because he hasn't stayed healthy. But if they've been able to do it with Irsay and Estevez, and now you start maybe Steven Cruz maybe could be part of the long-term equation here. John Schreiber has had a very nice season too. Yeah. Like, so they're doing it without Harvey, who you would have thought would have been their third best arm in the pen, fourth best, third best arm in the pen. And he hasn't even been around.
As of like less than a week ago, the Royals had gotten like 30 innings out of relief pitchers. They had called up to the big leagues and not given up a run. So like every person they were calling up, didn't matter if it was Sisk or Coleman or Cruz, they weren't giving up earned runs across the board. Right now, ERA-wise, their worst starting pitcher is Cole Ragans. And none of us think Cole Ragans is going to be the problem across the board. He's given up a few more runs here recently. Seth Lugo, back to your point on the innings pitched, leads the major leagues in innings pitched. That's not something I would have assumed he was capable of doing for a second consecutive year. He wasn't a starter a couple of years ago. The biggest difference is the starting pitching is exactly as good as it was last year. They got a couple of guys pitching absolutely nails. They got everyone else pitching really well. There is no dead weight. Everyone's a really good starting pitcher. They got no problems. The one start they needed outside of the rotation, Noah Cameron gave them seven scoreless or six and whatever it was, a 7 2/3 scoreless to go with it. The bullpen is the difference. That's why the pitching's better. They are so much better in the bullpen. Because as you pointed out, Estevez and Lynch and Urseg and Schreiber, by the way, deserves to be included in this, have essentially been perfect. Cruz still hasn't given up a run. He's pitched as many relief innings as anyone in the bullpen since being called up. He hasn't given up a run. Yeah, and so like it's just so deep. Carlos, it's just pitcher after pitcher right now.
Carlos has 11 saves. Yeah. Their save leader last year had 18, I think.
Well, I think he's probably going to pass that.
And it's May 12th. So, I mean, it just puts everything in perspective a little bit. But that's why they're in the position they are. We all know it's because of pitching. We'll get back into the bigger picture of the AL Central. And obviously, the issue that is so obvious for all of us, that's offense still. That's the outfield. All that is still true. That hasn't changed. And the name of the game still is, can you continue to win? Can you continue to get great pitching to put yourself in a position where you can go and acquire a piece? Now, I know people are wondering, you know, how aggressive will they be at the deadline? That's going to be a lingering question throughout this entire season.
Yeah, who's the pitcher you're willing to let go of in the major league level?
Who are you willing to let go? Is there a payroll cap when it comes to acquiring somebody? Are they already at it? You know, that's why, you know, they have chosen not to claim a few guys on waivers that could have been a potential option for the big league club. Maybe they weren't interested in the player. Was there a financial restriction? I'm not sure which one it was, but they have not chosen to go that path. The one outfielder, cash considerations that they traded for, whatever. Nick Gordon's already been removed, you know, DFA or whatever. So that wasn't, you know,
that was so they could get room for Peyton Wilson.
Yeah. So things are going to, you know, change, of course, roster construction wise. I think the next, you know, 2 to 3 weeks will be really big to watch for Hunter Renfrow, quite honestly. And what is he, how often is he playing? And what does he do in the lineup when he's in the lineup?
I admittedly missed more of the games at the end of last week, obviously, that time where I was out of town, right? Alex and I were gone Tuesday through Friday. Now, I paid attention. I watched some box scores. Obviously, we're with people at this wedding.
I saw the White Sox player have a ball go off his head. That was great to see.
Oh, my God.
I got so many texts about that immediately.
Of course you did. It was hilarious.
And I was like, "What?" I knew something crazy happened. And I wasn't watching the game live, but I was sent the link. And that was the not top 10 play number one last week.
I was finishing packing my suitcase for the trip when I was watching that live. And I had to like go back and rewind because my favorite part of the whole thing, even though that guy had the ball in his head, is Mikel Garcia losing it like a little kid. You know, that little excitement when you're just like, that's the greatest moment. I'm just like, he was so excited. That part absolutely killed me. But like, so I was like, you know what? Having kind of an old Hunter Renfrow's game long. How are things looking? Bleak, it appears, still. Hitting 167 on the season, 228 on base percentage, 202 slug, and a 431 OPS. Some of these numbers you would just let go if occasionally a ball found a seat. He has 0 home runs on the season, 4 RBI, and just 7 walks. He's probably been one of the worst starters in Major League Baseball this season. So at some point, they're going to have to adjust.
I go to the timeline of Hunter Dozier from a year or so ago, where it was around Memorial Day, May 26th, I think, when they decided. That was for more money, too. We're talking about less money remaining on the deal for Hunter Renfrow. Dozier, they ate more money. For Renfrow, I think now we're far enough to see. It's like maybe I'm off on the number, $5.5, $6 million
is
what we're talking about, is what they would have to eat.
It's not bad at all. No, they've still got offensive problems, but that's not the point. The point is that they can pitch even better. They can win this way. For the entire season, they can win this way. They scored 4 runs this previous weekend. They won one game. They had a chance to win the second. 50-50 game, right? It's 1-1 in the sixth. And then they got their ass kicked in the other. So, like, you lose one, you win one, and you got a chance to win the series in the third. That's because pitching will keep them in every single game and has kept them in every single game to go with it.
We'll get to the trash of the day in 8 minutes or so, but on Saturday morning, we got some breaking news in the NFL at the time, and that was that Derek Carr is retiring at the age of 34. There were reports prior to the draft, like a week or so before, that, hey, this shoulder injury is pretty serious. He could miss the start of the season. Like, okay, does this change their draft plan? It really didn't all that much. They drafted a quarterback, the Tyler Shuck kid, who's, 26 years old and has had injury after injury. We'll get to the Saints and what their QB room looks like in a second. But Derek Carr, it sounds like, based on his statement, he recognized that the shoulder, even after surgery, if he gets rotator cuff surgery, there's a chance he's just not going to be the same player. And why am I going to go through all of this? Because 34 is young in the NFL nowadays at quarterback. There's plenty of quarterbacks that are successful at 38.
I mean, Kirk Cousins is 4 or 5 years older than that and still playing. Aaron Rodgers has not committed to a team.
And Derek Carr had not played that good of football the last 2 years since he'd been in New Orleans, in fairness. But he hangs it up at 34. And I know he's a guy that got brought up plenty of times on this show throughout his career because he was on the Raiders and it was a rival and all that. And I actually think as more and more people just heard him speak, people became more of a fan of him as a person, as a leader. And you will understand why players gravitated toward him. And I know nowadays we judge quarterbacks like, all right, how many rings? And you must suck if you don't have any. You know how many quarterbacks would sign up for the career that Derek Carr had? He had
$200 million.
Really nice career. Financially, he had a very nice career. He also finished third in MVP, and if he didn't get hurt that year, he might have won MVP.
Played 11 years.
But he never did anything in the postseason, right? And so it's kind of similar to Philip Rivers in that regard. He was, for much of his career, I would say, the 10th to 12th best quarterback in football. Probably where Derek Carr was at.
Yeah, when I think of his career, 40,000 yards passing, 257 career touchdowns, almost 170 games started. It's like worse than Philip Rivers' career. Philip Rivers was more prestigious, more stats, went deeper into a playoff run, won, I believe, divisions here in Kansas, you know, like Philip Rivers did. So like, he had a better career. Derek Carr, to me, will probably be, in my lifetime, the example of what does average quarterback play look like in the NFL? And the answer is Derek Carr. I would not call it above average. I would not call it below average. I would say he is the poster child of perfectly average. NFL quarterback play. So for in his best years, to your point, you finish third in the MVP and you play way outside your skis. In your worst years, you play like the 25th ranked quarterback and it stinks. But year in and year out, man, you are 15. You are 16. You are just
I think he's
the
in that
standard, the average, the norm.
Yeah, he's. I said 10 to 12. Yeah, maybe it's 12 to 15. He's right in that realm. Yeah. So many quarterbacks would love to have the career though that he had, and not just because of the financial end of it. But that
you
was surprising.
Worse than Derek Carr's career.
That was surprising news. Now, what do the Saints do here? Kellen Moore, first time
quarterback room in this.
First time head coach. They need to be willing to truly just wear one the entire season. If you're Kellen Moore, you're in it for the long haul anyway. You're in it for the long haul. So your quarterback room is Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck, and then the Jake Haener kid. They claim they're going to have a QB battle. They will probably bring in some random veteran.
I wouldn't.
But they should not just have as a backup. They should not allow that veteran to actually be the starting quarterback, though. They should just go with those three. Whoever wins the job, wins the job. Maybe they find something, this Tyler Shuck kid. If not, you got a top five pick, and Arch Manning might be there. And guess whose family loves the Saints organization and made their whole career
there. Guess what the last name of a quarterback was the last time they selected a quarterback in the first round? It was Manning, by the way.
It is all setting up for Kellen Moore in year two to have a Manning as his quarterback. This year, just wear one. Your win total was 5 last year. You're probably a 3 to 5 win team this year.
Planning for Manning.
Yes.
I guess, but like, this is my whole issue with their plan is, did they have any idea before they took Shuck that this was the case? Because if so,
had to have.
I would just say, don't take Shuck or draft one higher, right? Like, just don't take him and really commit to the bit of being like the worst, because it was an interesting retirement thing. He conceded some money he would make if he just kept trying to recover from this injury, but they just told him you can keep the 10 mil. Not a bad deal, right? They're just like, we won't make you give us the signing bonus back, but we don't want to be on the hook for the rest of this.
No, they both helped each other out. He gets $10 million. He gets one final $10 million check. They are not on the hook. They get major cap relief, which is what they need. This is, honestly, for Kellen Moore,
best case scenario.
Kellen Moore and Tyler Shuck should have been the happiest people Saturday morning when they found out the news. Kellen Moore because of the long-term aspect, and Tyler Shuck because he has a chance to be the week one starter. We just had a convo, guys, 2 weeks ago about, hey, who are the week one rookies that could start? We are like Cam Ward, and that was it.
Now Shuck.
And now Tyler Shuck will have a chance, and I'm not saying he's going to be good, but he will have a chance, clearly, to start week one. But the Saints organization, like, the problem is they have guys still like Cam Jordan and Tyrann Mathieu and others. They need to trade those players, and during the season those will be names that will be available. Like, if you're a team that will need a veteran edge rusher or pass rusher, period, Cam Jordan is probably going to be available in the middle of the season. Tyrann Mathieu could be available in the middle of the season. They should tear it all down. Will that organization do it? As much as we're saying they will, they have had chances to
Again,
do it, guys.
The coaching stuff is where it's really a challenge.
Post Drew Brees, they could have done it. They chose to go trade for Derek Carr, and they thought they were still in it.
Their problem was, like post Drew Brees, it was going to be like a 2-3 year teardown because of the way they structured his deal and the way they went all in. So they're like, man, maybe Derek Carr could just help us like win a little bit while we wait for the cap stuff to settle. Like, they should cut every player they can that'll save them a nickel next year. Like, I mean, just start rookies. I would make the argument just lose, but you got to like pretend like you're trying to win. Pretend like you're trying to win is just starting Rattler or Shuck the entire year. I'm trying.
We're saw plenty of Jake Haener.
You can tell the...
I don't think it'll be Jake Haener. I think it'll be Shuck week one. Spencer Rattler has a chance, but...
It's hard to... Because the Arch thing, if they thought that Derek Carr was going to retire and they wanted to lose, then they shouldn't even have drafted Shuck in the first place.
Nah,
and they should have just played Rattler, and you just deal with what you have.
I would argue,
because on the off chance that he actually works at, like, let's say Shuck looks good enough and he wins you 6 games, you're not getting Arch Manning.
That's
never gonna happen, but like,
they could win 6 games, but they could still mortgage multiple picks to go up from 6 to 1. That's not impossible.
And so, like, my argument,
I just wonder if
they
fall in love with there, if they like, well, Shuck could be good enough if surrounded by better play, all of a sudden it turns into a complete disaster, or
it depends
what is Arch drafted shooter this whole time as well.
So a couple things with that. One, very clearly there was no way they were ever drafting him at 9. Shador Sanders,
like,
Sanders went in the 5th round. Clearly nobody was drafting him in the first or second round. If you're saying they should have been more aggressive, though, then you're asking them to draft Jackson Dart at 9 overall, which would have been a serious overdraft. So I mean, I guess they did what they had to do in the draft. I just wonder, we need to also see Arch Manning at Texas this year. Is he actually what we think he is?
Remember,
he can choose to stay in college. I don't think he will if he has a great year, but he could. If the Saints are the team that might have a chance to draft him, because of his family ties, he might be more willing to leave college after this year because his dad, or his grandfather, I guess it'd be, was obviously and the other, guy in New Orleans.
I'm pretty sure. There's better quarterback options, too. At least, again, we always
deep
say this
across
before.
The board, not
it,
just
it,
look,
it looks
Arch.
Better. It the does. Draft looks better. The quarterback class looks better for this upcoming season, even outside of just Arch.
True.
Training.
I can't be sure that this wasn't an off-the-air conversation, but I'm pretty sure I did it for all 32. This is as close as you can get in the NFL to admitting to teams you're trying to lose. When they took Chuck, a 26-year-old quarterback, out of college in the third round, knowing Derek Carr's shoulder was in shreds, this is as close as you can do to just outright tanking. Teams don't go lower than what they're doing at quarterback in New Orleans.
You can do it when you have a first-year head coach.
Yep. As long as you promised him that he's getting more in a year. Yeah. Because that was always a sucky thing about what happened in Houston. You come down here, you take the job, we're canning your ass anyway. We've put you in a no-win spot with Davis Mills. Now we'll take C.J. Stroud and you can kick rocks. So if you're Kellen Moore, the only thing you needed in verbal expression was, hey, I'm getting more than this year, right? It's not just how I look with Tyler Shuck, right? You're sticking me out for a few years.
Yeah, I think it's a long haul, you know? I think it's a long haul move for Kellen Moore, and it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out now.
Trash of the day.
All right, trash of the day. This is another TikTok trend. We've had some dumb ones. This one is very much up there. So I guess there is a current trend on TikTok where students are jamming objects like paper clips inside of their Chromebooks, you know, like the Google Chromebooks.
Yeah, the ones they get for school or whatever.
They're jamming paper clips into like the USB ports to cause them to smoke or catch fire.
For what?
And now TikTok is blocking searches for the challenge and reminding kids, you know, don't be stupid. But law enforcement and school districts across the country are warning about this TikTok challenge. It poses a major fire hazard. In Arizona, at a middle school there, they were briefly evacuated Thursday after a Chromebook laptop began emitting smoke in a classroom, burning internally. Six Chromebooks were also vandalized yesterday at a different junior high. None of them caught fire. So this is a weird trend. The Chromebook Challenge targets Google's low-cost laptops since they are widely used in schools and issued to students. And schools, kids are now recording themselves putting pencils, paper clips, scissors into the laptop charging or USB ports. Yeah.
Look, kids will do stupid things. I was a kid, I did stupid things. We've already discussed on the fact that I went and played mailbox baseball a number of times. That was the destruction of other people's property. Why are you destroying your own property? That makes even less sense. That would be like doing mailbox baseball, but hitting your house. I didn't grow up in an era in which
aren't the students' parents going to be responsible
challenges
for that laptop that the school issued?
I have to sign a waiver the second the adults and the kids have to sign a waiver at the beginning of the year for like the iPads my kid gets. So yes, I'm on the hook as a parent based on this. So like you're in big trouble. I come home because you tried to light your Chromebook on fire. I guess what I don't understand.
Someone
this
says
is like
kids are wussies. What happened to putting paper clips on a wall outlet?
Oof. You ever been electrocuted? It sucks.
I have not.
A couple times over the years. Yeah. I just don't understand the challenges that cause like intentional harm or damage to yourself. Because we talk about these other ones, we'd be like the Tide Pod challenge. I'm like, that's poison.
Yeah,
you're just poisoning
yourself.
Or
the one dropping heavy objects on your foot.
Oh yeah, we did talk about
that. Which Cody said he'll do.
I said for a certain amount of money, I'd do it, you know?
And break your foot. We had a listener come up to us at our draft party and said, you don't want to do that. And he talked about how he was moving something. Yeah, and he lost his toe because he dropped a very heavy cutting board, I think it was what it was.
Yeah, butcher like a tabletop or something. Whatever. Yeah. Instead of cut his toe off, he just sat there and just waited for the ambulance.
So, yeah, don't do that challenge. This is just another one of the dumb TikTok challenges, and apparently this one is in schools across the country right now.
Do you think that you'd get in more trouble nowadays for, like, someone had mentioned that, like, they took their son to TP his mom's house for Mother's Day or whatever. Do you get in trouble for that these days?
TPing someone's house?
Is that still
I think the rule always has been, you TP someone's house, you know.
Yeah. If you get caught, you got to clean it up.
You never TP, at least I didn't. You didn't TP someone's house, some random neighbor. You did it somebody you know, or they had already, and it becomes like a back and forth thing. You don't just do it to somebody that you don't know. So I think as long as it's that, you know? I don't know if people still do that anyway.
That's crazy.
They just light Chromebooks on fire instead?
Yeah.
There's way more innocent ways to have fun.
There was a challenge last week that I mentioned for Trash of the Day, the Kool-Aid Man Challenge. I don't know if you guys have heard of
that
one.
What is this?
Kids are running through people's fences and then running away.
Like the...
Oh, like through their wood fence and then running away?
Oh, yeah. Jeez. They're destroying their fence.
Again,
and
destruction of property. Again, what are we doing?
That's a way more fun trend than the Chromebook one, I'll say. It's somebody else's property.
Fence is not cheap to repair, man, depending on the fence.
It's someone who's had to repair his fence twice since I've lived there.
Wow.
Not cheap at all.
That is the trash.
I'm going to have someone come look at my mini decks this week, you know?
The mini decks.
It's starting to need a little bit of repair. It's time to take a look, you know?
All right. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Good news while I was gone. I got nervous when I saw this name come across the ticker and my text messages, and then I found out I could take a deep breath. I'll explain what I'm talking about next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. It is good to be back on the air talking some Chiefs football with you guys. We'll get back into our trip last week and the wedding, including what happened on the flight coming up in the noon hour as well. But
That's with the self-bartending person. I got to ask questions. I got questions about that too.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that. You had a very... I'll get to it later. Cody likes talking to bartenders because he used to work in the industry. Uh-huh. I'll just leave it at that. We'll get it. I wouldn't even talk about that bartending thing.
Yeah. I was talking about the person.
We'll get there.
I was very chatty with them.
You're mesmerized about forks, and now you're talking to...
The Wednesday night bartender, the opening, the welcome party bartender I was very friendly with. But also, like, you know, I didn't know anybody at the wedding. I mean, these people were nice enough. I was just asking them questions.
So we'll get there. We'll get there. But I was very happy when something sports-wise happened while we were gone. You guys know... I've said multiple times, there is a certain player, while I'll admit, very, very talented. Very talented. I have no interest on becoming a member of the Chiefs. And then I got a text. I got an alert as well. And all I could see, because it was a quick glance down, all I could see was George Pickens traded. And I was like, oh boy.
And you're like,
oh no.
And because we've talked trading him.
I was like, oh no.
On
and also,
this show,
don't do this while we're gone. Don't trade for him anyway. George Pickens, of course, was traded to the Dallas Cowboys for a third round pick.
And you thought,
I am very happy. I'm very happy because he's a hell of a football player. But let me lay out this scenario. We can all see what's coming. The Cowboys now have CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. That's a really, really good wide receiver 1-2 punch. They also upgraded their backfield. I got questions about their O-line. Dak Prescott, like their offense, they're going to open up the season, by the way, against the Eagles on Thursday night. They got weapons on offense. All that's true. But if Mike Tomlin wasn't able to stop the pouting, George Pickens showed up 90 minutes before the Chiefs-Steelers game. He was taking plays off. He was taking helmets off his own teammates. Uh-huh. All of that. If Mike Tomlin couldn't control that, I'm sure, guys, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure that Brian Schottenheimer, first-year head coach, Brian Schottenheimer, is going to be able to take control of that. And the good news is the Dallas Cowboys with George Pickens, they don't have an owner that likes to talk every time after a game and will respond to when reporters ask about George Pickens. No, they don't have that either. So I'm sure it's going to go swimmingly for the first 3 weeks or so. And then I'm sure it won't be a problem in a month or two into the season when they're not winning and when he's not getting the ball and when everything's going bad for first-year head coach Brian Schottenheimer. So good luck, Dallas. Props to the Steelers for making that trade. Got a third-round pick for him.
So that was actually more compensation than I was anticipating. So that would have been part of my hesitation, right? If I were the Chiefs and the same thing were on the table, I would have had that hesitation gold as a result of that, certainly. My whole thing with Pickens was that it'll work here because Andy Reid won't let it go bad.
Mike Tomlin
didn't let it derail them, right? They were still a winning team. They had quarterback issues. He didn't let it derail them. Now, it was rocky. Kind of in a way, it was rocky with like Marcus Peters or Tyreek Hill in Kansas City at the time. Now, Tyreek Hill was never on the field. But like, or very.
So you're banking on, and Cowboys are, you're banking on that, like, well, he's got Dak Prescott now, so he won't be upset.
Nah, man. The coach is a problem. This ain't going to work.
That's what I'm saying. Brian Schottenheimer, like, first year head coach.
I was saying, like, a huge part is like, this ain't going to work. This is not going to work because it's honestly maybe the worst place he could go. Like, Dallas is already in a mess.
Very Dallas.
They've already got, like, an owner that I don't know that they know anything is going on. They plucked a coach off the street because they fired the other guy and they couldn't find anyone else to take the job. Dak's coming off an injury again. Like, I got to be honest, man. That might be the last team I think he should have ended up on. Other than, like, the teams that are, like, the Jets, I guess, maybe would have been worse.
Idiot things can turn into good decisions.
Like, I mean, that's
what they're hoping for. That's what they're hoping for, you know?
You think
I'm an idiot?
But you were relieved, weren't you?
Do you?
I wanted to pick him from the beginning. I think he's a really talented player.
The different conversation, if you're just saying like, hey, they should have drafted him, I'll listen to that more because ultimately the Steelers got a couple years and they got a third round pick back and the Chiefs drafted Sky Moore. So for sure, I'm with you. Now, I've told you I hate playing the this guy got drafted five picks before whatever could have had. We can do that all day long with every draft pick in NFL history. But yes, clearly that the Sky Moore pick versus Pickens, obviously they should have had Pickens.
If you could go back in time,
because you also got a third round pick now back for him. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the player in the Chiefs' interest, I'm so glad they didn't trade for him, Cody. I have no, if this next year he becomes a free agent, no, I have no interest in George Pickens.
The one part about it different now versus when we were discussing this was before the draft is right now, the Chiefs don't really need a wide receiver. I'm not trying to just be like oversimplified. They don't need another wide receiver that comes with baggage. They're in a good spot. Still have Travis Kelce, still have Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy. They just drafted another guy in Royals. They brought Hollywood Brown back. As it sits right now, when I see the headline George Pickens traded, my initial thought were the Chiefs involved? My initial thought, or should the Chiefs have been involved? We do that on trade stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Would you have made the same deal? For a third round pick next year when I've traded for George Pickens? And the answer, surprisingly probably to you, is no. At the moment, I wouldn't have because they don't need that right now. I like where their wide receiver unit is. And if I'm going to take on the headache, I need either a stronger need for the player itself or a lower price tag.
He's also in the final. He's also
a third round. I kind of thought it was going to be less.
I am just because it's, he's in his final year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is not a guy that has 2 years remaining on his rookie deal. If he plays well and it's not a problem, you're going to have to pay him. If he stinks, then you gave him a third round pick. If he's had a headache and he stinks, you gave him a third round pick and he's gone as well. So it's a 1 year thing here for him in Dallas. You always wonder, is this the wake up call? But I'll say everything that George Pickens has done in the NFL is exactly what people said. Very talented, but a head case. Yeah. He's been both.
Yeah.
The scouting report was spot on for George Pickens.
Yeah, every once in a while they're off. They'd be like, I don't know if this guy's got the talent to run routes and the, whatever across the board. Pickens, the talent has never been the argument. The question is, how long does he last in the league? And also, there's an amount of production you will take on the talent. So a 900-yard season, which is what he had last year for Pittsburgh with absolutely zero quarterback play, not bad. Perfectly fine with that. But you're not going to take on, like, how much money are you going to pay him? How long are you going to take on that headache? By the time George Pickens' career is over, I bet he ends up playing with like five or six NFL teams.
Yes, probably.
That's what I think is going to happen. I think it'll be two by the end of this, and by the end of next year, after he's done in Dallas, they won't give him another contract, and it'll be another team. So he'll already have three under his belt by the age of 24, 25 years old. And he'll always be productive enough to end up on a roster, be near a team, do all those things, because these are better than Hollywood Brown numbers, right? And he's always had interested parties trying to sign him, but he's just ahead.
I don't know if Stephon Diggs is a fair comparison, but he's kind of turned into that now where Stephon Diggs is bouncing around to different places.
Yeah, call me crazy because I know where Diggs is at now, but I think Stephon Diggs is still, at that time, was a better football player.
Oh, no,
Diggs was having 1,400-yard seasons, wasn't he?
Which is the
first couple. Yeah.
Pickens' best season is 1,104.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a good comp or not, but just in terms of bouncing around teams now. I will say
Pickens' quarterback play has been pretty bad.
It has. So, like, in fairness, yes.
Allen Robinson, but like, here's the thing. This is where you don't know which way it's going to go. Mm-hmm. So there are plenty of wide receivers, like Wes Welker spent the early years of his career in Miami with Cleo Lemon throwing him the ball. He got to New England and was a really, really, really super productive receiver immediately because it turns out having Tom Brady was better than having quarterbacks whose names you don't remember. Allen Robinson was going through that in Chicago and a couple of other spots, and he was having these like 1,100-yard seasons. And what you don't know, and this is what we don't know about Pickens, is were you getting that because there was no one else to throw it to in a limited offense and it was just happening by need? Or are you a star who would get 1,500 yards if you were actually with the right damn team?
Well, he's a number two. I mean, he's got CeeDee Lamb with him, so he's the number two receiver in Dallas. He's not going to be the guy getting the most targets on the team there.
And who's to say that's not going to become a problem? Where George Pickens is like, hey, man, you got to throw me the ball more. To, excuse me, but because CeeDee Lamb, I think at some point last year, was getting like 15 targets a game.
Yeah, there was no one else to throw to. But that was also a huge problem with their offense. They also had no quarterback play because Dak got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But
or in a running game.
CeeDee Lamb had 101 catches for almost 1,200 yards last year.
He led the league in catches. He had 135 for 1,750 the year before. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, he's definitively number two. But that's also the thing. I think a lot of people look at the talent of George Pickens and they say, get that man a quarterback in a functional organization. He could be a 1,400-yard wide receiver.
Yeah, that's what the Cowboys are
telling. But I'm just saying, just as often it goes the other way. And what it turns out is when there's another mouth to feed who's better than your ass, you start going down to be the 750 guy, the 700 guy. Your numbers backslide more often, I think, than you take the step up to the competition.
Yeah, Jerry thought he found something, though, so we'll see.
Smiles and glory holes.
Well, they're hoping. They're hoping.
There weren't a lot of wide receivers in the draft. That's the other
thing. They need to do more than hope in Dallas at this point with that head coach. I mean, they still have a running back.
Brian Schottenheimer. No, I actually think their running back room is much better than a year ago. I really do. So they have Javonte Williams, the Broncos running back. He's got injury concerns, but they do have him. And then Jaden Blue and Miles Sanders. I actually think the running back group is fine for what they want to do.
Better. It's not great, but it's better.
Yeah.
They'll probably end up with Nick Chubb.
If Javonte Williams stays healthy, then yeah.
Yeah, Javonte Williams' health is the big question mark for sure. But Dallas, good luck. Good luck. I'm sure it'll look week one, George Pickens going to go out there against the Eagles and have a 130 and a touchdown. I'm not even saying he won't. It's week seven when they're below 500 and he goes 1 week without the football and he shows up late to practice and he just shows up to the game late. By the way, these are all things that have happened already in his career. That's when it's a problem.
I know we're getting ready to talk schedule as it relates to the Chiefs just real quickly, since we're already getting ready to talk schedule anyway. Eagles, Cowboys do anything for you?
I mean, the
opening
first game
of the season?
Any game does it for me on that Thursday night.
I know, but it does feel a little bit like I'm sick of the Cowboys.
Another division game.
You know, like enough of the Cowboys. Quit sticking them all these primetime games. They've been an uninteresting team for years.
I would argue that for this Thursday night game to open up the season, we all know this is the argument for not putting a good matchup on the Thursday one because everybody's watching. We're all football starved at that point in time. And what we just discussed, actually, the Cowboys are very intriguing in week one. By week 12, I may not give a about them.
That's
week one.
Week one, interesting. Week 12, you might lose a little steam on them.
That's right.
They opened already as a, I think, 5.5 or 6.5 point underdog.
Mm-hmm. This game is in Philly, of course, right?
Yeah, they're going to have their whole ceremony, unfortunately, yeah. The Super Bowl that didn't happen, and all that, yeah.
I don't remember it at all. Yeah. Anybody remember Super Bowl that played last?
I don't. By halftime, I think something happened after. I'm not sure.
Honestly, it hurt a lot worse if the Chiefs didn't have three in the last 6 years, you know? It'd be a tougher pill to swallow if your team hadn't also been winning Super Bowls during that time. I just didn't know if Cowboys-Eagles still brought...
I mean, for an opening game, ratings are going to be massive. Ratings will be massive for that game. You know that.
So we'll get a division game to open the season. On Friday, we'll get a division game in Brazil. Looks Chiefs-Chargers like to go with it. Look, this schedule part, and I guess this is maybe... I'm curious to see where the NFL takes it. They have, for the longest time, found ways to protect certain games. They've always been a little more confident or protective of division games, especially because division games are worth more. That, like, they count the same in the record, but they are worth more, inarguably worth more, until they change the playoff rule that we've talked about where it's just based on record and it's not based on division. Winning your division counts for something major in the NFL still. So to put a division game on the run, we talked about this Brazil one because I told you I thought the Chargers could end up playing the Chiefs in it, and then they ended up doing it. It kind of sucks, but also like the Chargers game. Look, it's such a joke of a road stadium anyway. I'm having a hard time getting too worked up.
So I understand that basically Arrowhead West is not only in Vegas, but it's also in LA when they go and play the Chargers. That is all true. I just fundamentally disagree with international games being divisional matchups. Typically, they have not been. There have been other cases, but typically they have not been. I know they're going to keep playing international games. It's not going away. It's only going to increase. Pretty soon, everybody's going to play one or two international games a season. That's where the league is trending. There's a huge financial opportunity. I get it. We all recognize that. But I do not think divisional games, because of what those mean for your chances of making the playoffs, and obviously what a divisional title means and all that, those games should not be international. Thank goodness it's a road game, not a home game, because, oh my gosh, I would be livid if I actually knew any Chargers fans that existed. I would be livid. But they can get by with it because it's the Chargers. Mm-hmm. So I just fundamentally don't like it. I also just think, like, Sao Paulo, Brazil doesn't have the same ring to it as playing in Frankfurt, Germany, or Madrid, Spain, or in Ireland, or something like that. But that's just more of a personal opinion.
Yeah,
but
I don't really... I'm not too hung up on, like, that part.
But Friday night, look, are we all going to be watching? Of course. Friday night, and by the way, it's not official yet for those wondering, but multiple reports now say the Chiefs are going to open up in Brazil.
We'll get the official schedule on Wednesday night.
Yep.
Some of those games will be officially announced over the next couple of days, as some already have. Like I mentioned, the Cowboys-Eagles one is official. That is the first game of the NFL schedule.
They better have that field right in Brazil. Last year, that Packers-Eagles game, the field was crappy. People were slipping everywhere. They also were warning people not to wear green and all. Like, the whole thing was a mess. Why are they going back to Sao Paulo, Brazil?
Do you want to know what my biggest issue with it? I don't know. Because it went off, I mean, without too much trouble.
From a scheduling standpoint, it could be way worse.
And they're trying to put themselves everywhere. South America, Australia,
time zone-wise, it's not terrible for the Chiefs in terms of travel. It's also week one, so they can get there whatever they want, and then they have more time for the week two game, which hopefully is a home game in week two. In fact, I would guess it's a home game in week two. Could be wrong. I would doubt they have to go on the road to Brazil and then go on the road the next week. That'd be kind of crappy. I'm hoping week two means it's a home game.
But that's inevitably my single biggest issue with this, is that for as much as we claim the NFL is an equal sport, as in, hey, we allow the worst teams to get the best draft picks. We're really good about, like, bad teams can be good in a hurry, and it's the great equalizer and all these other things. The Chiefs got hit in the knee with a sledgehammer with the schedule last year. Early buys, multiple, like, international games, short turnarounds, 3 games in 11 days, playing on Christmas, they got beat to death. And I don't know any of the Chiefs' schedule right now except for one game, which will be the Friday of the second game of the season. And it already sucks. The schedule's already, they're playing on a Friday. There's very few games on a Friday anyway. They have to travel internationally, which means they could have to play 2 international games this year because this one won't count because it's the first week of the season, Gold. It's in the, like, exempt non-counting type of international game, I think, according to the NFL. So they could have to still face 2 international games, have to take a divisional opponent on the road. So it's already off to a rough start is all I'm saying. And for a team that already has to get the batter of the worst part of the schedule because they're a good team, so they got to play more nights, more days of the week.
Well, that bye week better be late this year. That bye week better be late this year if that's the case. I don't actually, you and I differ a little. I don't think the scheduling week one is my problem. Like, I actually think if you're going to have one, that's the week to have it.
Sure.
And actually,
what if they have two?
I would be surprised. I mean, other than the Jags, I don't think any team has had two international games yet. It'd be the second time in NFL history if that happens. So I think they probably won't have that other one until 2026.
So you're saying if you're going to have an international one, do it early.
Get out of the way week one and be done with it. Then you have more time in week two to get ready for your next opponent. But the schedule stuff every year just gets bigger and bigger in terms of the way they do this. You know, today NBC announced that week 17, they're going to have a Peacock only Saturday night game.
Chiefs will be on that, I'm sure.
Maybe there's a chance.
Anybody want to take a bet?
Well, is that five to one
at worst, I would say.
There's definitely a chance that ends up being where the Chiefs end up. So tomorrow, I think Fox or Amazon, there's a whole schedule of the schedule release schedule announcement.
The Chiefs game, if they do end up facing the Chargers, which we all think they will officially, it's on YouTube, not YouTube TV, right?
YouTube is reportedly who this Friday deal is going to be with.
So who have they missed games by? They've been on YouTube. They've been on
Apple.
They've been on
Apple's the one they've missed.
They've been on Peacock. They've been on any of the Netflix, major networks, ESPN.
We're down to just Apple.
We're down to Apple
and Max. That's about it. Apple and Max and Paramount.
Pluto.
They're already on Paramount.
Pluto TV. I mean, like they don't have that many. They don't have that many windows of time left, and they don't have that many networks left to appear on.
Yeah.
At this point, they've been on Nickelodeon.
They're going to maximize, and that's part of Paramount, I think, or whatever, but like in CBS or whatever it is, or Viacom, I don't know. They're all connected, but it's
Fubo TV or whatever the other,
that's no different than YouTube TV. Like that's a distributor more than it is like a network, Fubo or whatever.
Yeah. They don't like own their own streaming shows necessarily.
But for the local team, again, before everybody freaks out, no matter what network the game is, remember, if you're in the local KC market, they will make it accessible. You'll be able to, one of the local affiliates, you'll be able to get it over the air.
So it stinks. I'll say it stinks for fans that are just outside that window, but that's less, right? We understand. Like if you've been watching the game in Denver, and because the Chiefs are a great team, they are almost always on your TV at the time because they play all these primetime games. They're almost always available to you. So like you, the person outside of the market, might have to do that. This is the only thing that I would like bury the NFL like this. I don't love the way they do the TV stuff now. I think a lot of it's for a buck. But if they ever end the local people still get it locally part, that's the only thing that separates them from all the sports that everyone wants to bitch about when it comes to TV. That's what separates them from the Royals or the Major League Baseball or NHL or NBA, is that local teams can still be watched locally over the air without an additional cost. The second they get rid of that is when I think they really start to make people mad.
Yeah. 913-586-7965. Someone says, hear me out. International week. Everyone plays out of town week one.
I've seen someone pitch this before nationally.
I think that's where you take away a preseason game out of bye week. This has been discussed before that you do. I don't know if I would like it in week one. My argument against week one is the same issue I had with baseball, having their first game of the year at 3 a.m. It would have to mean the time zone works out, and I still think your first game of the year should be on U.S. soil. That's just me being me on the NFL front. It's bizarre to open up a season internationally, so I hope that's not what they would do in the future. At least this go around, that Thursday game is opening up in Philadelphia, the home of the team that just won the Super Bowl.
It would be one of those things where you wouldn't have all of them play, obviously, because then everybody would have a bye week the following week. You would take half the league and play them on a week that the rest of the league has a bye, and then you just flip it the following week.
Somebody said it would
be
come
back-to-back weeks.
I don't remember. I'd love to give him credit.
I think it was Nick Wright, actually.
Okay. I was like, some national radio host has suggested this as it comes with an 18-game schedule. I just tell you, that's, again, not how the NFL will do it, because that is a fan-based enjoyment versus a individual-based. They don't want to squeeze the international games in 2 weeks. They want to force-feed them to you for 18 weeks. Mm-hmm. They don't want to just get 2 weeks worth of juice out of it, man. They want your ass up at 8:30 in the morning watching the Jags in London in week four, and then they want you in week eight watching the Chiefs in Germany, and then in week 13, they don't want only 2 weeks worth of juice out of it. They want you watching the NFL every week in perpetuity in different time slots forever.
In fairness, though, isn't that a way to like celebrate like how you have rivalry week or how you have something
like
else?
Like, I get it.
I think there's a way for people collectively here in the States.
Nation stuff only works if it's a battle of nations.
This is international week. Like, we're going to get up for international week. It becomes a thing.
I'm fine with that. I just don't want a week one. I'm not anti that idea if they did it in October or November or something like that. To me, it's something you do in the month of October or whatever, and you get the international games in that way. I just, something about week one, the same issue I had, mainly it was a time zone thing for baseball, but the same issue I had with them having the Dodgers play overseas and nobody knew the game was happening. If you're the NFL, look, they will do a better job marketing it, and the NFL is king, so we won't not know what's going on. But those games for week one, when everybody's excited for the NFL kickoff, to me, those cannot be international games. And I don't even like that the Chiefs one on Friday night is international. I think that first week they should all be home games, but that battle is long gone.
Yeah. I agree too. The cat's out of the bag on that one, Gold.
Yeah.
Where there's just not a lot of like putting that back in. Again, just as long as they keep four local audiences it local, I do think that people will mostly kind of keep quiet about it. Like, I don't think anybody will complain because you and I still watch. I'll watch that same one.
Of course.
I watch all Chiefs games on rabbit ears. Well, I still watch them on an antenna.
Yeah. I mean, and deep down, no matter whatever complaints you have about the opening kickoff game, whether it's the Chiefs on Friday night or the actual opening kickoff game with the Eagles, by the time we get to September, whether it's your betting, fantasy football, whether it's just your passion for the league, whatever, like NFL, the rookies that are going to be playing, like, I cannot wait. We'll be ready for it. We'll be sick of training camp, and we'll be ready for the start of the season, no matter what even though people will bitch and moan about the Sunday night football game is not as good as they think it should be, whatever, right? I wouldn't surprise me if Jaden Daniels is on Sunday night football, honestly. You heard it here first.
Yeah. You think that that's where it's going to be?
Kim Anders will open up on Sunday night football, is my guess, or Monday night.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. They're one of the most interesting teams going into the year, and they have a young star-ish quarterback.
All right, up next, guys, we'll get to what's trending, get you caught up with what's going on, and then we get back in to this American League Central for a second year in a row. Looks like it's going to be very, very competitive.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.